Psalm number 23.
We'll continue our thought that we began a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night on sheep. And it's interesting that God has given His own children many, many names within His Bible. And God has many names, the Bible has many names, the church has many names, and God's individual Christians have many names. And one of the names that we have come to in our series on names of Christians is that of sheep. And may I say that in that name, God's trying to tell us something. In every name He gives to His children, He's trying to tell us something about ourselves and more about Him and who He is. And may I say to you tonight that He's a great God. He's a wonderful Savior. He is my shepherd if you're saved. And if you're under His care, you're going to make it. There's no doubt about it. In Psalm 23, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There's no way we can get it all preached tonight. It's impossible, because that psalm is packed full of what we have in our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, and we want to continue our thought that we began a couple of weeks ago on we who are saved are God's sheep. Our Father, we love You tonight. I pray that You help me to preach with power. Help me to preach with conviction and understanding and clarity, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And let me say here that sheep come in different sizes. Sheep come in different shapes and different colors. They can come in fine wool, medium wool, long wool, or carpet wool. Some of this is review. It's been said there are more breeds of sheep than any other species. And you know, it's the same way in God's family. There are different sizes, there are different shapes and different colors. Nevertheless, all are sheep who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, it is a privilege tonight to be known as a sheep in God's fold. Now, there's two major things that we're considering about sheep. Let me review by giving you point number one. Sheep have a nature. Now, I'm talking about literal, physical sheep, because it's interesting that God has called us sheep. So whatever is true about physical sheep is true about spiritual sheep. And one thing we see there is that sheep have a nature. It's interesting that God does not liken His children to bears because we're strong, or to lions because we're courageous or fearless or brave. And He doesn't liken us to foxes because we're so wise. And He doesn't liken us to doves because we're so peaceful and so meek. But for some reason, He likened us to sheep. Could it be that He likens us to sheep because of the nature of sheep? See, the nature of sheep, just three things quickly under this in review. First of all, sheep are helpless. You realize that sheep cannot make it on their own. And in the same way, you and I, left to ourselves, will not make it in this world where the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We are helpless just like physical sheep. Secondly, we're looking at the nature. Sheep have a tendency to stray. Even though that their need and their wants are fulfilled in staying close to the shepherd, it's interesting that sheep have a tendency to stray away from Him. And in the same way, our place of safety and protection is being close to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our good chief shepherd tonight. But so many of us stray away and have a tendency to go our own way and do our own thing. No wonder God calls us sheep. Then thirdly, under the nature of sheep, sheep also are safer in a group. The more there are, the safer they are. And it's the same way spiritually, that God has made His sheep to be people who strive in a flock. He wants us to come together. It's the picture of the local church. And may I say that the local church is vitally important. It is vitally important to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And we ought to be faithful. And God bless you for doing the right thing. This is a great Wednesday night crowd. It really is. I salute you for making the right decision. And I may say to you tonight, and I'm going to say to you, that when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be ashamed of any service that you came to His house. Amen. We are safer in a group. That's the nature of sheep. Then secondly, we just began last time we started on this, that sheep not only have a nature, but sheep secondly have a need. And the need of sheep is not for their needs to be met. The need is singular. The need is the shepherd. And it's interesting that in the Word of God, Jesus Christ is called the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 13, He's called the Great Shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5, He's called the Chief Shepherd. And may I say to you that it depends on what kind of a shepherd the sheep have. That determines what kind of a life the sheep will live. If the shepherd is lazy and doesn't care about them, they will struggle. But if he loves them and cares for them and watches out for them, they will strive. And may I say something to you? We have the greatest shepherd that's ever breathed air. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He made the air. He is God Himself. He is deity. And He said, if you're in My family, you're My sheep, I'm your shepherd. You can't get any better than that. Amen. Let me give you some things about the shepherd. Two things in review, then we'll pick up there. First of all, why is He such a good shepherd? Why is He such a great shepherd? Why is He the chief shepherd? Last time we spoke on this, we said, first of all, because He owns the sheep. And what we mean by that is that a shepherd pays a high price for the sheep that he owns. But there's no shepherd that's ever paid the price that Jesus Christ paid. When he stretched out his arms and his feet and he had spikes driven through his hands and his feet and he shed his precious blood, he was shedding his blood to buy you. He was shedding his blood to purchase you and make you one of his sheep. The shepherd owns his sheep. Secondly, the shepherd knows his sheep. It's interesting that a shepherd can point out such peculiar traits about his particular sheep. Like, look at that one's leg. It's a little bit shorter than the other one. But look at this one over here. He's got a cut behind his left ear. And in the same way that a physical shepherd knows his physical sheep, Jesus Christ knows all about us. And I'm glad that's true tonight. I'm glad God knows if nobody else does. He knows His sheep. Now, we brought you up to par number three. The third thing, and this is where we pick up tonight in Psalm 23, that we see about our shepherd who is our need. And keep in mind tonight what I'm saying to you. I feel like my throat is swelling up here, so let me unbutton myself a little bit. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this. Don't ever fall prey to think that you have many needs in this life. You do not have many needs. You have one need. His name is Jesus Christ. Because may I say to you that the devil tries to get you to look at life like this. Look at all this stuff coming at you. Look at all this, all this kind of stuff. When God says, don't look at life like this, look at life like that. What's the one thing you need? See, when you get Jesus, you get everything you need. He is your need. The need is the shepherd. And that being the case, He owns the sheep. He knows the sheep. Number three, He provides for the sheep. We see this in verses 1 and 2. Look at it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, what in the world does that mean? May I say this to you? It is not the sheep's responsibility to provide for the shepherd. But it is the shepherd's responsibility to provide for the sheep. You know, it's been said that the daily consumption for sheep is, first of all, food is 2 to 4.5 pounds every day. Water, it's said that it's 0.5 to 1.5 quarts of water that an individual sheep must have every day. And if that sheep's needs, that I'm talking about its food and water, is going to be met, it's up to the shepherd to lead them to the right place where they can be satisfied. With this said, our shepherd provides for his sheep so that they are completely satisfied. Notice the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what that means? I don't want anything else. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in need. Now that ought to sink in with you tonight. And when that sinks in, it makes no difference what kind of shape the economy's in. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he'll move heaven, and he'll move earth, and he'll move the devil, and the demons, and everybody in the way to take care of his sheep. Now he's going to do that whether you realize it or not. And may I say to you that right here in verse number 2 where it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside the still waters, there's a reason he separates those two. Let's look at them separately, because both of them shows us that the shepherd provides for the sheep. First of all, he says here, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. See, the shepherd knows that unlike goats, which will eat weeds and other trash of this world, the sheep prefer the tender green grasses. Now listen to this. The shepherd leads them to places where he knows they will be fed. He makes them lie down because he knows they cannot properly digest their food unless they're lying down. He also knows that sheep will not lie down. Get this. They will not lie down unless they feel perfectly safe from the attack of the enemy. Now stay with me here. He knows they need to lie down because their wool grows in thickness and richness in direct proportion to the time they spend resting. In other words, the more they rest, the more wool it produces, or whatever the case may be. And the better grass it eats, the better its wool is. It's the better that its wool becomes. Now, with all this in mind, the shepherd of the sheep, what he's doing here, I know I said something, I have no idea what it was, but whatever. But the fact of the matter is this. It's interesting that the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know what that means? That means that he is providing for me in such a way that I'm completely satisfied and I'm completely safe from the enemy. You know where safety comes? Staying close to the shepherd. You stay close to the shepherd and the enemy's going to leave you alone. I'm not saying he's not going to attack you, but he'll never get you because he can't get through your shepherd. He makes us lie down, and remember, sheep never lie down unless they feel safe. So there we see the tenderness of the shepherd providing for the sheep. But then it goes on to say this, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. Right here we see his thoughtfulness. Because the shepherd leads his sheep beside the still waters because he knows the sheep will not drink from a running stream. You know why? They're scared of water. Why? Wouldn't you be if you was a sheep? Get the picture. They're not designed for swimming. With their heavy coats of wool and their little spindly legs. Sounds like me, I know. I know what you're thinking. Sheep are extremely top heavy. And in the water, their wool will fill with water and they easily flip over and they'll drown. The sheep know this and they shy away from running water. The shepherd also knows this. So he tenderly and thoughtfully searches out calm, quiet streams. You know, sometimes if there's running water, a shepherd will actually dam it up. So maybe it's running down here, but right here it's real peaceful. It's real still and quiet because he doesn't want the sheep to live in fear. Let me ask you a question. What is one of the major tools that the devil uses on God's children? Somebody talk to me. Fear. You ever fearful of anything? You know what I call it? I call it the what if syndrome. What if this happens? What if that takes place? What if I get that? What if this economy bottoms out? What if that takes place. What if, what, I call it the what if syndrome. You know what this verse is teaching us? It's teaching us that the great shepherd knows his sheep need water to stay alive, but he knows that he's got to lead us to places of stillness, places of rest, places where there's no fear. Are you listening? He wants to take us to places where we can, for a few minutes. That's the shepherd. He's not out to take you to running waters and scare you to death. He's out to take you to somewhere where you can drink to your heart's content and you're never afraid of falling in because the waters are calm. The waters are still. In all of this, we see that the shepherd is the need, and we see that the shepherd provides for the sheep. In Matthew 11, 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you need rest tonight? You have a troubled heart tonight? Some of us are walking in here tonight. I don't know exactly who you are, but I guarantee in a crowd this size, there are many unrestful hearts listening to me tonight. You feel like you're in running water. You feel like your wool's just filling up, and you feel like almost any moment you're going to flip over topside down and drown to death. You know what the answer is? Stay close to the shepherd, because he leads you. He provides for you, and wherever he leads, it'll be the best for you. That's the shepherd. That's the shepherd. He provides for the sheep. In other words, those who belong to the Lord are well tended and have all their needs met by their shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, 15, God said, "I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." Let me read that again. That is powerful. Ezekiel 34, 15, "I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." Now our preacher preached on Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33, so I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but it's talking about that God will meet your needs because you're better than the birds. You're better than the flowers. And what a stench in Almighty God's nostrils for his children to doubt that he's going to provide for them when he provides for the birds and he provides for the flowers. The third thing we looked at, which is really the first thing tonight, is point three under the need, the shepherd. We see the shepherd provides for the sheep. Then number four, we see in Psalm 23 verse 3 that the shepherd restores the sheep. Look at verse 3. "He restoreth my soul." Now, this is an exact parallel. In other words, there is an exact parallel to this statement and to caring for sheep. It's taken from a cast sheep. Now, I spoke a little bit about this 2 weeks ago, but a cast sheep is one that's turned up on its back. Now, keep in mind, this is more like a teaching lesson here. Keep in mind that a sheep, when it's cast, when it flips over on its back, it cannot get back over. If you ever walk upon a cast sheep, that means it's flipped up and its legs are sticking up in the air like this. If you don't help it over, it'll die in that position. It can't get back over, okay? Now, there's a direct parallel to "He restoreth my soul" and to a shepherd restoring a cast sheep. Stay with me here. Now, it's interesting, why do sheep become cast? Why do these sheep who are helpless and they flip over, how in the world do they flip over in the first place? How do they get in that position? Now, listen, this is a sermon in itself right here. Let me give you a couple of reasons why a sheep becomes cast or flipped over on its back and it can't get back over. Number one, it can find a comfortable depression in the ground. In other words, now, by the way, this is coming directly from a shepherd. And he said one way that a sheep can become cast is that it will find a comfortable place. And when it gets comfortable and it's laying down in that groove, it'll like roll over on its side. And before it knows, because it's out of proportion, it just swings over and now its legs are up in the air. That's why it's dangerous to seek comfortable Christianity. There is no such thing. May I say to you that we have the great comforter inside of us, but God didn't call us to comfort. He called us to live for Him. And may I say this to you, that the same way sheep become cast today spiritually, they want the comfortable way. As long as it doesn't cost them anything, just make me comfortable. And before you know it, you're on your back and you can't get back up. Secondly, a sheep can become cast because they have too much wool. Now, does anybody in here know what wool is a picture of in the Bible? Not a trick question. Anybody have any thoughts? Let me give you a thought to help you see this. It's interesting that when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, there was one thing he was not to have anywhere on him. It was wool. Let me tell you why. Wool is a picture of self. Did you hear what I just said? Wool's a picture of self. And may I say to you that just like a sheep can get too much wool on it, in the same way, we can be governed by self so much that we're putting ourselves in danger instead of living for God Almighty. And then thirdly, a sheep can become cast because it's simply too fat. And that's a picture of eating all the junk food in the world. And what I mean by that is this, that there's things that God wants you to digest, and there's things that the world wants you to digest. And what we mean by that is that God has something He wants you to give your life to, but the devil has something that he wants you to give your life to. If you give your life to God, but yet if you give your life to the devil, then he's out to destroy you, to wreck you, to ruin you. And what we're saying here is that a sheep can become cast and unable to get up. Therefore, being susceptible to death by circulation being cut off from its extremity. So keep in mind, I want you to picture with me, what I'm going to do here is set this down. And let's say that this is an extremely small sheep, okay? It has flipped up on its back. There's its feet up in the air, okay? If you walk upon this sheep like that right there, it is completely helpless. It cannot roll over on its feet. If somebody doesn't help this sheep get back over on its feet, it will die in that position because its circulation is being cut off the whole time. Okay, you with me? Now, that being the case, now listen to this. When a shepherd would find a missing sheep, he would constantly count his sheep. And when he would find a missing sheep in his count, he would go out on the hunt because he thought one of his sheep was cast. Stay with me here. And unable to get up, lying there helpless. Now when the shepherd would see the sheep, he did some things for it. This is a blessing now. In other words, when a shepherd would count his sheep and one of the sheep was missing, he thought to himself, I've got to cast sheep. And he would leave and he would go out and he would search for his cast sheep. When he saw a sheep in that position, there are certain things he did. Number one, he ran to it. Amen. What do I mean by that? That means he didn't just take his time. He didn't just say, well, okay, here I come. No, he knew every moment counted. He knew every second counted because he didn't know how long that sheep had been in that position. And he knew every moment that there was more blood being cut off from its extremities. So he would run to the sheep. Secondly, he would tenderly roll the sheep over. In other words, he wouldn't just take it and slam it down. It's like, bark, bark, what are you doing? No, he would go to it and he would tenderly roll the sheep onto its feet like this. And he would straddle it. And he would begin rubbing its legs, trying to help get the circulation to get back down into the feet. Okay? Are you with me? Then there was a third thing he would do. You know what he would do to it? He would speak to it. He would run to it. He would tenderly turn the sheep over and begin to tenderly rub on it to help the blood get back in circulation. And the whole time he would be speaking to it. What happened? What's happening? Why did you do that? You know better than that. Don't ever do that again. Are you listening to me? Every now and then, every one of us are in that position. Every one of us. Every last one of us. Every last one of us, every now and then, either have too much wool or we're too comfortable, and before we know it, we're flipped up on our back, and sometimes we don't even know it. And yet the great shepherd leans over the portals of glory and says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wait a minute. I've got a cast sheep somewhere. And he comes out on the search, and he's looking, and he finds us, and he runs to us. And he'll tenderly turn us over and begin to help the circulation get back. And the whole time he's speaking, saying, what are you doing? You know your safety's in me. Don't do that again. Stay close to me. That's the shepherd. And that's what he restoreth my soul means. That means when I become cast, he's searching for me. When I'm on my back and I can't get up and I'm calling out for help, he's looking for me. And when he finds me, he will run to me. When he finds me, he will pick me up. When he finds me, he will rub on me. When he finds me, he will speak to me. And when he speaks to me, he's restoring my soul. That blesses my heart right there, folks. Amen. That God loves me that much. By the way, it was the sheep's fault. It wasn't the shepherd's fault, it was the sheep's fault. But yet the shepherd didn't give up on it. John 22:29, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say there is lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. Number one tonight, it's actually the third point, but number one tonight, a shepherd provides for the sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Number two tonight, he restores the sheep. He restores my soul. Number three tonight, he leads the sheep. We see this in verse three as we continue. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, understand that sheep cannot just get along anywhere. As a matter of fact, no other class of livestock requires more careful handling or detailed direction than sheep. Now there's one way, now there's other ways, but there's one major way that sheep follow their shepherd. There's one thing that they know that helps them follow the shepherd. What is it? It's his voice. Now it's interesting here that this man tells a story that years ago he and his wife went to Palestine. And they told of these two shepherds, and a tourist visiting there saw a terrible thing. Two flocks of sheep came on cross paths and hundreds of sheep got mixed up together. In other words, they were crossing paths apparently, two different flocks, and all these sheep were just mixed up together. And even worse, they were not branded. In other words, they had no marks on them to tell which sheep was belonged to which shepherd. It was hopeless, so they thought. After some confusion, each shepherd went a distance down the road and turned and called his sheep. And instantly, the sheep became polarized as each headed towards the voice of its shepherd because they knew the shepherd's voice. A man in Australia was arrested and charged with stealing a sheep. But he claimed emphatically that it was one of his own sheep that had been missing for many days. And when the case went to court, the judge was puzzled. not knowing how to decide the matter, at last he asked that the sheep be brought into the room. Now, can you imagine that? He asked that the sheep be brought in. Then he ordered the plaintiff to step outside and call the animal. The sheep made no response except to raise its head and look frightened. The judge then instructed the defendant to go to the courtyard and call the sheep. When the accused man began to make his distinctive call, the sheep bounded toward the door. It was obvious that he recognized the familiar voice of his master. And you know, it's interesting that the judge said his sheep knows him. This case is dismissed. You know, in this world, there are many voices competing for our attention. Many voices. I'm talking about the voices of contemporary worship, the voices of just ungodly things, and the voices of ungodly music, and there's all kinds of voices calling out. The voices of false prophets. Can I name one of them? Benny Hinn. Somebody said his life verse is found in Jeremiah. It says, "My breath is corrupt." And that's why he breathes on people and people fall down, because they can't stand his breath, for crying out loud. It's interesting. Let me hold this handkerchief up and send me $100 and I'll send it to you. If you can't see that's a phony, you've got major problems. Major problems. And all I'm saying to you, that God says in Matthew 8:22, but Jesus said unto him, "Follow me." The Bible says in John 10:4, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." I wonder, do you know the voice of your shepherd? Are you listening to it day by day? By the way, the voice of Jesus Christ is right here in my hand. You're not going to hear his physical voice. We will one day. Won't that be a great day when we hear the voice of God? I mean, think about it. When you hear God speak, I'm talking about literally hear his voice, but in the same way he's already spoken, and we have his word. And may I say something to you? Let me apply it this way. If anything comes down the pike that contradicts this word, trash it. Because if you know his voice, it will not contradict this book. That is his voice. And we need to follow God's word. Follow the word of God. He leads his sheep. How does he lead? By his voice. Where's his voice today? The word of God. That's why you ought to read it. You ought to know what God says to you. You ought to want to know what your shepherd's telling you to do. Hey, how are you going to find out where God's leading? You got to get in the Bible. He tells you go this way. Stay away from that. Don't go over there. Where are the still waters? Where his voice leads you? Take the voice of God, the word of God. Take it. Feed on it, because he's leading you through his voice. And number four tonight, he comforts the sheep. Now, I'm not going to get through tonight because I've got four more points after this. We see this in Psalm 23, verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." You know, I'm going to separate the rod and staff. I wasn't sure those were two separate things, but in my study it came out those are two separate things. The rod and the staff. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let's separate it. Let's see what's going on here. Now, how is it that a rod and a staff comfort them? Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so stay here with me just a moment. It's interesting that the rod was used as an extension of the owner's right arm and standing for his strength and standing for his authority in any situation. In other words, the rod was an extension of the shepherd's own right arm, okay? It was used to do two things. It was used to correct the sheep. When they would get out of the line, he would whip them back in the line. Secondly, it was used to count sheep. They would hold it out some way and they would count the sheep and be examining the sheep as the sheep would pass under the rod. That's a blessing, folks, to think about this. He's checking the sheep, he's counting the sheep with the rod, and he uses the rod to correct. So he used the rod to correct and to count. Okay? Now we flip over to the staff. The staff was used because it was like a long stick with a hook on it. You understand what I'm talking about? It was used to draw sheep into an intimate relationship. In other words, newborn lambs would get separated from their mother, and the shepherd would take his staff and pick up the newborn lamb and bring it back to its mother. That's a picture of God restoring fellowship between his own children. You see what I'm saying? Now stay here with me. Sometimes it was used to catch a shy and timid sheep to a close, in other words, he would catch a timid or shy sheep and he would use his staff and draw it close to himself so he could look at it and examine it. And to guide, and also it was used to guide the sheep in a way he wanted them to go. Now listen to this. In other words, he would take the rod, he would correct the sheep. He would take the rod, he would count the sheep, and also look at them and examine them. Then he would take the staff and he would bring families back together with him. Amen. He would take the staff and he would find a shy sheep and he would draw it close to himself so he could check on it, make sure everything's okay with it. Then he would take the staff and sometimes just guide the sheep where he wanted them to go. And then sometimes, you know what he would do with the staff? He would be walking along beside, I'm talking about leading the sheep, and maybe this sheep is right here. He would just take his staff, and just every now and then, he would take his staff, and what he would do with it is he would just take his staff and just let it rest right here on the side of the sheep, just like this. You know what he was telling that sheep? Man, I enjoy being with you. I enjoy spending time with you. You're one of my favorites. And you know, the shepherd would say that those sheep could sense that. And they would just kind of strut along. Because the shepherd was with them. Stay with me here. I'm just about through. Just about through. See, how is it that a rod that is used to bow? How is it that a rod that is used just to hold over you? How is it that a staff that's used to grab you and yank you places? How is it that a staff that's used to guide you? How is it that a staff that's used just to lay up aside? How is that a comfort to the sheep? Let me tell you how. Because the rod and the staff were only symbols. You know what they were symbols of? The shepherd. Did you hear what I just said? See, when the rod and staff were there, that means the shepherd was there. Because they're his tools. Henceforth, a comfort even in the valley of death. Verse 4. Because he's in that valley with you. People have had deaths in their family. And I tell people that the Bible says here, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, you can't have a shadow without a light. It's impossible to have a shadow without some kind of a light. It's interesting that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And when somebody passes through the valley of death, God's word calls it a shadow. I've heard our preacher say many times, a shadow can hurt nobody. And the reason it can't hurt anybody is because the sting of death was taken away at the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ, who's the light of the world, walks through that valley with you and he never leaves you. He just takes you on over to the other side. Amen. Even so, Hebrews 13:5 says, be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, looking at the sheep, we're 2/3 of the way through. And in the first part of this, we saw that sheep have a nature. They're helpless. They have a tendency to stray. They're safer in a group. Number two, this is where we're looking at right here. Sheep have a need. Not needs, plural, but a need, singular. Because their needs, plural, are met only if their need is met. If the shepherd is there, he takes care of everything else. And it's time we understand. We don't need, listen to me please, we don't need things. We need the Lord. That's what we need. We need Him. And we see, we're studying the shepherd a little bit. You can't get it all preached.
There's no way.
Well, we've looked at these so far, that the shepherd, I'm talking about our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, he owns the sheep. He knows the sheep. He provides for the sheep. He restores the cast sheep. He leads the sheep with his voice. He comforts the sheep. And we'll pick up right there the next time that we come in and start on this in a couple of weeks. Let's pray together, shall we? May I just simply say to you tonight, in a crowd this size, it could be that somebody's come in here without the Lord. If that is possible, may I recommend to you the good, great, and chief shepherd. His name is Jesus Christ. He bled and died on the cross of Calvary. He's a wonderful Savior. If you want to be in His family, in His fold, if you want to become a sheep and go from a goat to a sheep, all you've got to do is ask Him by sincere faith, confessing your sin to Him and ask Him to come into your heart and forgive you and be your Lord and Savior. If that's you tonight, I'd like to invite you to do that before this service is even over. And we who are saved, we need to thank God that He is our shepherd. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing He has done for His children. It's a blessing to be a sheep in the family of God. He knows you. He owns you. He leads you. He provides for you. He restores you whenever you're cast down. He comforts you with His staff and His rod, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Our Father, we love You tonight. And we thank You for who You are. Thank You, Lord God, for being our shepherd. Forgive us for where we failed You, and help us to stay close to You and realize that the devil is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Help us to stay close to the shepherd. And thank You for who You are and what You've done, we pray in Jesus' name.